Well, let's drop that and turn to the fourth question, a narrow one. What are the origins of the September 11th crimes? Here we make a distinction between two categories, which shouldn't be run together. One is the actual agents of the crime. The other is a kind of a reservoir of at least sympathy, sometimes support, that they appeal to even among people who very much oppose the criminals and the actions. And those are two different things. Well, with regard to the perpetrators, in a certain sense, we're not really clear. The United States either is unable or unwilling to provide any evidence, any meaningful evidence. There was a sort of a play when Tony Blair was set up to try to present it. I don't exactly know what the purpose of this was, maybe so that the U.S. could look as though it's holding back on some secret evidence that it can't reveal, or that Tony Blair could strike proper Churchillian poses or something or other. Whatever the PR reasons were, he gave a presentation which was, in serious circles, considered so absurd that it was barely even mentioned. So the Wall Street Journal, for example, one of the more serious papers, had a small story on page 12, I think, in which they pointed out that there isn't much evidence, and then they quoted some high U.S. official as saying it doesn't even matter whether there's any evidence because we're going to do it anyway. So why bother with the evidence? The more ideological press, like the New York Times and others, they had big front page headlines. But the Wall Street Journal reaction was reasonable, and if you look at the evidence, so-called evidence, you can see why. But let's assume it's true. It was astonishing to me how weak the evidence was. I mean, I sort of thought you could do better than that without any intelligence service. Remember, this was after weeks of the most intensive investigation in history of all the intelligence services of the Western world working overtime trying to put something together. And it was a prima facie, it was a very strong case, even before you had anything. And it ended up about where it started, with a prima facie case. So let's assume it's true. So let's assume that the actual perpetrators come from the radical Islamic, here called fundamentalist, networks, of which the bin Laden network is undoubtedly a significant part. Whether they were involved or not, nobody knows. It doesn't really matter much. That's the background, those networks. Well, where do they come from? Well, we know all about that. Nobody knows about that better than the CIA because it helped organize them. And it nurtured them for a long time. They were brought together in the 1980s, actually, by the CIA and its associates elsewhere. Pakistan, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, China was involved. They may have even been involved a little bit earlier, maybe by 1978. The idea was to try to harass the Russians, the common enemy. According to President Carter's National Security Advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the U.S. got involved in mid-1979. You remember, just to put the dates right, that Russia invaded Afghanistan in December 1979. Okay. According to Brzezinski, the U.S. support for the Mujahideen fighting against the government began in 6 months earlier, and he's very proud of that. He says, we drew the Russians into, in his words, an Afghan trap by supporting the Mujahideen, getting them to invade, getting into the trap. Then we could develop this terrific mercenary army, not a small one, maybe 100,000 men or so, bringing together the best killers they could find, who were radical Islamist fanatics from around North Africa, you know, Saudi Arabia, anywhere they can find them. They're often called the Afghanis, but many of them, like bin Laden, were not Afghans. You know, they were brought by the CIA and its friends elsewhere. Whether Brzezinski is telling the truth or not, I don't know. He may have been bragging. He's apparently very proud of it, knowing the consequences, incidentally. But maybe it's true. We'll know someday if the documents are ever released. Anyway, that's his perception. By January 1980, it's not even in doubt. The U.S. was organizing the Afghanis and this massive military force to try to cause the Russians maximal trouble. It was a legitimate thing for the Afghans to fight the Russian invasion, but the U.S. intervention was not helping the Afghans. In fact, it helped destroy the country. And much more. It did force the Russians to withdraw, finally. although many analysts believe it probably delayed their withdrawal because they were trying to get out already. Anyway, whatever, they did withdraw. Meanwhile, the terrorist forces that the CIA was organizing, arming, and training, carrying it, were pursuing their own agenda right away. It was no secret. One of their first acts was in 1981 when they assassinated the president of Egypt, who was one of the most enthusiastic of their creators. In 1983, one suicide bomber, who may or may not have been connected, it's pretty shadowy, nobody knows, but one suicide bomber drove the U.S. Army military out of Lebanon. And it continued. They have their own agenda. The U.S. was happy to mobilize them to fight its cause, but meanwhile they're doing their own thing and they were very clear about it. After 1989, when the Russians had withdrawn, they simply turned elsewhere. Since then, they've been fighting in Chechnya and Western China and Bosnia, Kashmir, Southeast Asia, North Africa, all over the place.